And I believe this is time of preparation for greater things. How many of you would like to finish victorious? You know, I have privilege of going out of the country, and in the old country, they always have the cemetery around the church. So the dead are sleeping right there, you know. And I read all the tombstones. It's really, really exciting. Here lies John, the traitor. Because of him, after men of my village could kill me, rot in hell forever. This is a good thing. So, and this is strange. He said, I figured out. I turned to God to teach me when I see things like this. It's, you know, you don't learn in Bible school. You learn in life, you know. In Bible school, you get information, but you don't learn. It's in life you learn. So I was looking at it, and people put flowers. And I thought, they give you flowers when you're dead. When you can't see it, you can't smell them, you get flowers. When you can't smell and you don't get flowers. And not only that, they come and see you after you're dead, and not before, you know. I thought, so, the world, real strange things, you know. So we're going to get a good time on earth. Your kingdom come on earth like your kingdom is in heaven. We don't have to wait to have it together. We can have it together now. Is that okay? So we plan on living it till the last minute, and then we'll be taken up, and we'll leave everything down here. That's all right. Somebody else will have it. So we're you know, I just want to, I'm excited, and I want to try to excite you so much that you'd get in trouble. You know, most people don't know God like He is, you know. They want God to talk to them. God, talk to me. When God says, God, talk to me, God says, okay. He said, start giving your tithe to the church. He said, try me again. I don't like that one. So, you know, God will never ask you to do something you can do. It's really strange. He'll ask you something that you cannot do, that you wouldn't know how to do it if you had the time and the money, and He asks you to do that. That's why I'm here. You know, I learned practicing on people like you. I made all my mistakes before I was recognized. But I believe right now we can be prepared for the end time. How many of you don't want to live to be 120? There's people who claim that today. I said, they can go ahead. I'll be in heaven at the time. But we have to be prepared and ready. We have to learn to live glorifying God here until we do it perfectly up there. To be generous here, because up there you won't have to give to anything to anybody. They already have it. You can't give them money up there. I mean, if you need money, you break a little piece of sidewalk, it's solid gold, you know. And so our life is here is the good one, you know. We're blessed traveling and seeing people. You know, we lost all our friends when we got saved, but we got new friends everywhere. It's great. So we have friends here in Paso Robles. I was just thinking, Paso Robles. I had some really weird experience in Paso Robles. A lady they're Christian people, they own a motel. And the lady said, the only thing I miss about being a Christian is I can't smoke. I said, smoke. You're going to go to heaven the same way. You might even get there sooner if you smoke. So I couldn't talk her out of it. That was against the law, you know, their law. And I spoke at the Assembly of God up here, I don't know, street over, anyway. And across the street someplace, there's an Anglican church, I think it is. And one day, a bunch of ladies come, and they're sitting all in the same place, all together. And I could tell one had to be the leader. I was suspected, because they're all watching her. And every meeting, I was there for a week, every meeting, some of those ladies would come and get saved and get baptized in the Spirit and get delivered. And the last meeting, they were all waiting for me. And the lady that seemed to be the leader, she said, "This has been a bad week for me. You've taken all my clients. I'm the pastor of this group, and I teach them. And it's against what things you said already." So she said, "Is it right?" I said, "Well, I don't know." She said, "Why don't you come to our house? I'll show you what I'm teaching them. It's all demonic things, you know, just the spiritual things, demonic." So I told her what it was. So I said, "Well, one thing, we got to burn it." So we burned it. She came to the next meeting. She got insane in my meeting. Freaked out. They took 5-6 men to carry her out. A good meeting, you know, a good meeting. So the pastor called me, pastor of this church called me later. He said, "Ray, you know, the lady you prayed for came from across the street. She's in a mental hospital. They've been carrying her out. Maybe you should come and pray for her." I said, "Okay." I don't like mental institution because the devil already owns these people. You know, mine, everything. So anyway, the minute she saw me, she sobered up. 2-3 times like this, and finally, she finally got delivered. So I think you stack up some really serious people in Paso Robles. That's why you should be trained to take care of them, okay? So we're gonna see by the Bible what God says, okay? Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation." Okay? We're trying to do that. I'm glad some people help us, send us. And I like that. When Jesus speaks in red, it's better to me. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. One time in a farm, I preached to the cows. They're a creature, so I did. Nobody got saved, but they anyway. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who doesn't believe will be damned. And these signs will follow those who believe." These signs will follow those who believe. Not the believe will follow the sign. The signs will follow those who believe. Okay? "In my name, those who believe will cast out demons." You got to start somewhere. It's a good place. You know, you can always find demons. They're everywhere. They even come to church. Okay. "Those who believe will speak with new tongues." A pastor says, "I don't believe in speaking with tongues." I said, "Don't worry. You won't. It's only for the believers." Okay. "They'll take serpents, and if they drink and they did deadly things, they won't hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will die." No, I didn't say that. Usually they die. You go in the hospital, they'll tell you. Pastor, you came and they died. That's what it. But this is why it's finished. It's not in red anymore. "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven." Where's Jesus? Sitting up there on his throne. Next to the Father, okay? "He was sitting in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out." Say that, they went out. So he said, "Go," they went. See? God says, Christians, go, they don't. They stay, okay? He said, "They went out, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs that followed them." Well, if we obey, God comes with us. And God, like you mentioned, he's the one that does the sign. We're here. we do and we knew, is a sign. It is a sign. So that's a, and Luke 14, it's a good one there. Oh, no, I changed it. Okay. Verse 12. Most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, does the belief, okay? The works that I do, he will do also. I didn't say that. It's in red. Those who believe, do the works that Jesus did. You do or you don't. And one or the other. You got to decide that, okay? And greater works than these he'll do, because I go to my Father. Greater work than raising the dead. 14:12. Huh? John. Yeah, that's John. I said Luke. That was not a revelation. So, I was just saying that Jesus said that we were to raise the dead. One guy in church, he said, have you ever raised the dead? I said, yes, every Sunday. Greater works than these because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do. You ask the Father, Jesus will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So if we ask, he does it, the Father's glorified. We ask, he does nothing, nobody's got glorified. So we have this treasure written right here, how to be successful. You can't go, but you can do help somebody who does. Thank God. You know, we all have a ministry, but the truth is you don't need to go anywhere. All the problems are right here. Isn't that wrong? Okay, I asked that many times. A church of 500 people. I said, how many of you need a healing? Raise your hand. 500 people raise their hand. I said, Pastor, you sheep are sick. That's true. I mean, it's all right that we get sick. It's not all right to stay sick. Everybody stays. I mean, you should get healed even by mistake. No? Just happened to be at the right place at the right time. So Jesus said, he said, if you do something, I'll go with you and perform signs. I love that. I love that. I love that when my wife gets and I see what God does to her. This is exciting. We were in South Africa. We had sometimes seven meetings a day. I preach, my wife preach, my daughter preach. That's amazing. And it was glorious. They need healing. They know they need healing where we were. There are no doctors and no money. So just healing is the only hope, you know. So if we just go and get someplace, somewhere, Paso Robles is a good one. Everybody needs healing. Honestly, how many of you honestly need at least one healing? Raise your hand. How many of you need more than one, two or three? How many of you need a major overall? You know, if you say God is going to heal somebody's back, chances are there's about a dozen at least that needs that one. Yeah. So I believe we have been put to sleep in the supernatural. He started this church in the supernatural with people who didn't know how to do it, didn't even know how to pray. And he's coming back to a church that is supernatural. You okay? I think if we were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? I think should be, right? So Jesus said, go do this. That's wonderful. When I start learning, I didn't learn the ABC. I started learning the heavy stuff, you know. Raising the dead, casting out demons, chasing the mountain into the ocean. I tried all that. They didn't move, but I tried. At least I tried. You know, I tried walking in the water. I almost drowned, but it's okay. But I found out that's not working. Something is not working. I don't know how to get to it works, you know. So my wife, when she heard me tell these things, she's always kind of concerned her. But that's the way it's real. So, no. Well, I was too embarrassed to tell you. And when I put my feet in Santa Monica at the beach, on the water, and it just stayed down, it went down, and I said, that's not working. I tried it. I said, there's something I don't get. I don't know what. It's not God's fault. God is true, but I'm not getting it. Well, what do? You quit or you keep seeking until you find it. So I tried healing, you know. And I think everybody I prayed for healing got worse. One guy said, please don't pray for me anymore. it's amazing. I was like that. I had to find out. I mean, I could make money in real estate business. I have success in God's business. And I had to find out how it worked. So prayed for healing. I got all the teaching on healing from the others. I made copies of it, and I preached there. It didn't work. But at least I tried. I said, well, you know, I always get the flu, anytime got the flu anywhere, especially in France, they give you 4 kisses, you know, on the cheek. So you meet 30 people, that's a lot of kisses. So if somebody's got the flu, you're bound to catch it, you know. So I decide, well, I'm going to believe, I'm going to confess, that's first thing you say, I'm going to confess with my mouth, I'm not going to get healed. And I'm going to believe in my heart, no, I'm going to get sick. Yeah? The flu. Yeah. Okay, I'll say it again. Okay. I'm going to confess with my mouth that I'm not going to get the flu. And I'm going to believe in my heart, I'm not going to get the flu. And I won't get the flu. Starting today, I don't get the flu anymore. The next day, I get the flu. So I rebuke it, I cast it out, the next day I got healed, the next day I got the flu. The next day I cast it out, the next day I think about a month. I said, God, if I'd been sick like everybody else, I'd be healed. But because I've been fighting it, I'm still sick. He said, that's right. If you had been sick like anybody else, you wouldn't have learned anything. You're learning to get there to be victorious. After that, I don't get the flu. You can't give it to me. I can't take it. Is that good? Yeah, they breathe in our face. We sleep in their room and everywhere. The germs everywhere. But I don't get the flu. About 65, when I was 65 years old, I got kind of joint pain, you know. If you're old enough, you kind of know what that's like. And I said, well, you know, I've never had pain, so what's a little pain at 65 years old? And I said, no, that's a bad confession. In the name of Jesus, I command this pain to leave. It just left. Oh, it worked. Now, I'm trying to go with bigger thing. You know, cancer would be a good one. You know, we'll just practice on you. No guarantee, but we'll do what we can. So I believe that if you practice, the best practice I find out for me, the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Say that. If you lay hands on the sick, you'll recover. If you believe. Do you believe? Are you sick? Yes. You got hands, right?
Wow.
That was heavy. Thank you. I just said that when they make the background noise, you know, that's good. So I practice. See, I don't like going to tell people I'm sick here, I'm sick there, I got a pain there. I don't. That's bad reporting. I'm not saying God is good. I'm saying God is not taking care of me. So I just start practicing that. And I believe if we all practice laying hands, look at that. He doesn't even say pray. He said, if you believe, you lay hands, they will be healed. Huh? The same hand he made sins with, he said, now you lay hands, I'll heal. It's kind of a little far out, but it works. We're praying for a lady that had a sore back, and somebody told me, and I just put mine on her back, and the pain left. I said, wow, this is great. But it doesn't work all the time. That's the problem, you know. It's just, you get enough failures, all of a sudden your faith leaves. So God said, if you have faith, you please me. It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. Now, there's a lot of things you can please the Lord with if you obey in faith. 1 Corinthians, that's what I was looking for. 1 Corinthians 12, yeah. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I was in church all my life, 34 years. I never even heard you could be saved. I never even heard you could be baptized in the Spirit. I never even heard you could be healed. I never heard you could get gifts from God. I never heard that. So I was ignorant. I had some little pictures, little gods, you know. And the Bible says that they have eyes, they don't see. They have ears, they don't hear. They have feet, they don't walk. That's exactly what I had. So, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts. Diversities of gifts. A gift is something that's good that you don't pay for. That somebody gives you. If you paid for it, it's not a gift. It's a reward for whatever you've done. How many of you would like some more gifts from God? Yeah. Okay, that's good. But the same Spirit, there's difference in ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversity of difference, ministry, but the same Lord. Diversity of activity, it's the same God who works all. You have Lord, God, Spirit in that one verse here. When the gifts are there, God is in his evidence. He's in evidence. If I receive the gift, that means I got it, but it's not mine. It's mine to use. Right? And if it's mine to you and I use it, then I get more. If I don't use it, then you lose a little bit you have. It is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom. Say the word of wisdom. Say that. It's not the gift of wisdom. Say that. Say it's a word of wisdom. You can be stupid and have a word of wisdom. All of a sudden you say something. Whew, where'd that come from? God gave you a solution to a problem. It happens. Okay? So, word of wisdom, through the Spirit, to another one, the word of knowledge. It's not a gift of knowledge, it's a word. Cancer, spoken by faith, can deliver the people of cancer. You know, word. God created the whole universe with word. He's in us. He's given us the ability to create things by saying it, by faith. It's not a formula to get rich, it's just to bless people. To the same Spirit. To another, faith. That's a gift. Now, faith is, there's little faith, a little more faith, big faith, small faith. There's all kinds of faith in the Bible. And there's human faith, there's God's faith. This is talking about God's faith. God's faith works. And you may think it doesn't work. All of a sudden, it'll open up. You're at the right place, at the right time, saying one word. And I had to practice these things when I first learned it. Dennis is a friend that we were in the ministry together. We had Leland Davis was a prophet, and Dick Mills was a prophet, and I would travel with them. And then when they would prophesy, I said, "This is great. People are blessed. The words are accurate, and the people respond." I said, "This is great." So after one of the meetings, I told Leland Davis, I said, "I desire your gift. Is that all right for me to do that?" He said, "Of course it is. The Bible says it commands us to desire spiritual gifts." I said, "Well, I want to prophesy like you do." He said, "You do. You just don't know that you're doing it." He said, "I watch when you pray for people. You're praying things about them that you wouldn't know unless God reveals it to you. And it's accurate." He said, pray attention when you say things and you pray for people, just to find out." So I'm praying for this lady. And all of a sudden, I had this thought. I said, "Have you been sexually abused?" She said, "Yeah, how do you know?" I said, "Thank God, I know now." God showed me something. Now, all of a sudden, my wife and I would go into a church, and instantly, in walking in the church, we knew who controlled the church. The pastor controlled the church, or the wife of the pastor controlled the church, or the deacons controlled the church. Some church are deacon possessed, I think. No, I'm joking. Some church are controlled by the people with money, like I know some church in Paso Robles like this. And so we knew what spirit controls the church. So we found out we can't cast it out because they welcome it. But we could bind it so we could minister, and then that's God's problem after that. We don't go past that. So the word of knowledge. I think, I don't know if it happens with you, but I would take 15 people in a row and I would prophesy one after the other. "So how do you do that?" "I don't know. I don't know how to do that." And I would say, "Is that right what I said?" "Yeah, okay, that's right." So I got confirmation. I said, "This is great." Then I got scared. I said, "What if I'm wrong?" My wife told me, "Go back and do what you used to do," you know. But I got kind of crazy a little bit and backed out. And I'm back now, so. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't my wife that told me I wasn't doing it right. It was the devil. My wife told me, "Keep on doing it. It's great. People are blessed." So I'm being restored to what I once had freely. Is it okay? So I'll practice on you tonight, okay? You know, I know when I have faith and I know when I don't. People say, "Pray for me," and I know it's a waste of time. They're not going to get it. I don't believe it. They don't believe it. I can't make me. If God doesn't give it to me, I just don't have it. Is that okay? But I know when it's God, and then I know if I obey, it's going to happen. I may not see it, because it could happen on the way home or tomorrow, but I know. But if you never try, you'll never know the difference. Let's say, I want to practice, okay? I see Dennis, and let's say I don't know him, and I said, "I'd like to give him a good word, Lord. Do you have a good word to give to me so I can give to him?" Now, I'll pray, and usually he'll tell me something to tell him, to encourage him, to give him faith. I did that with Didi last night, right? Was that okay? That was okay, right? I could tell it was okay. Before he responded, I could tell. But If you never step out in doing something, you won't learn. You got to learn by stepping out. If you make a mistake, well, that's a mistake. God can bless our mistake also if we do it in faith. Okay? So, I tried all kinds of stuff like this to let me to move in a greater dimension. And I think, I don't know, maybe I'm getting old. I think with the time that I have left, I don't want to lose any more time. Is that okay? That's okay? Are you able to follow me, honey? I don't know where I'm going. It's all by faith. Okay. When you pray in tongues, and you should, it takes faith. You don't know what you're asking. You may be asking for God to move you to Alaska. In an igloo. Igloo? To ride the horse, not the horse, the dogs, you know, the dog sleigh. So, I'm not tempted a lot. If he said Hawaii, I think I'd say, yeah, okay, that's, yeah. So, see, people live naturally with natural method, natural sight, natural idea, and they will never step out of that, so they never learn. They never learn. One pastor in Sacramento, I was there for a week. It was difficult. My first realization, all the choir group is demonized. It's hard to tell. So after the week, the pastor said, do you have any suggestion? I said, since you asked me, I'll tell you. Your old choir is demonized. If we get there after 5 minutes, we're depressed. It's just, there's an atmosphere. He said, oh, he said, we've had problems, but he said, what do I do? I said, get rid of them. He said, what do I do? I said, you don't need music, you need God. God will supply what you need, but right now you got to clean this. And he said, I'll do it. He did it, apparently. I didn't invite me back after that, so you never know. So I believe if you step out, you step out. I do strange things. In Arizona, I tested to see because there was a big church, choir, Bible school, everything, and Ray Brooks, who knows nothing, just a new Christian, and I'm supposed to give a good impression. I said, God, if I say nothing, are you going to come and rescue me? So he impressed me. Yeah, I put my Bible down. I said nothing. It was a long time. Everybody looks at you, look like they're a cow stuck in a fence. Huh? So, so I don't know what it took. Anyway, all of a sudden a thought came, I said that. Nothing, I waited. A thought came, I said that. For an hour, I preached like that by section. When I made the altar call, the whole church came for the altar call. I said, boy, I must have been good. I'll buy the tape to find out what I said. But you know, who would take a chance? I'm stupid enough to take a chance. They still invite me after that. Not for long, but they did. I believe God wants to use you and teach you as he uses you. But if you do nothing, you're wasting your time here. You're already staying on tab with me. But if you exercise, say, God, today I want to give a word to somebody at the grocery store, at the drugstore, at my neighbor. I'm going to give them a good word. Give me a word to give to them. Be surprised that he'll give it to you. But if you do nothing, you'll learn nothing. Is that okay? It's scary to obey the Lord. Until you're familiar with it, it's scary. Oh, I tell you, this is great. So God, all the gifts of God are produced by faith. Faith and love are two gifts that work together, and they produce tremendously. And without those gifts, with faith, they don't happen. And as they happen, we can go from victory to victory. Victory to victory. Well, Dennis was there talking at the men's lunch this morning. I spoke at his church when he was the assistant pastor there. 220 people, Catholic, who didn't know the Lord, so got saved, baptized in the Spirit in one meeting. That's good. Then I was invited to speak on television by a priest who has a ministry, a Catholic ministry, you know. So he wanted to interview me for the charismatic movement because I was called a leader in the charismatic movement. I wasn't, but that's what they said. They gave me other things too, but that's better. So this priest said, I want to finish the program. He asked me all kinds of questions. I kept saying, I didn't give my life to a church or a denomination. I gave my life to a person called Jesus, and I wouldn't go past that. So when he finished, I prayed with him. He gets baptized in the Spirit right there on the set. That was unbelievable. Then he said, would you like to preach at the cathedral tomorrow? I said, yes, but the bishop don't like me, because I'm a friend of Dennis, and friends of Dennis, they have a heresy case on him, you know. And I said, he'll never invite me. He said, he's on vacation and I'm in charge. Okay. I go to the St. Mary's Cathedral in San Francisco, 9,000 people sit there. They call it the Bishop's Bendix. It goes like this. The old Bendix that turn around, you know, that's what it looks like. I was dressed with the priest and the sacristy, and they're putting dress for the mass, you know. And one priest said, who's Ray Brooks? I said, I'm Ray Brooks. He said, who are you? I said, Ray Brooks. He said, do you speak at the cathedral? I'm an old priest. I've been here all my life. I'd never get to speak here. How'd you get that? I said, I don't know. You worked it out. I'm just speaking here. Huh? Oh, my father arranged it. Okay, you remember. That's why. My father arranged it. So they had the procession. You know, we all went. It was 14 priests, the altar boys, the incense, the candles, the cross, all the way around, and we came in the middle aisle. And then I sat probably on the bishop's chair, the big high thing. So the man in charge, he said, you have 15 minutes for the homily. They call it homily, you know. It's not an omelette, but it's something, huh? So I said, 15 minutes. I'll never get a chance to do it. Cut something out. Just give me more time. So finally, give me 20 minutes. I said, okay, I'll take 20 minutes. At 20 minutes, I'll obey you, I'll stop, okay? He said, okay. I'm preaching. The chandelier on top, it started to vibrate. It's just a miracle. It's the presence of God is so strong. And when I made the altar call, I think 1,000 responded. I couldn't tell you how many because I couldn't count them. And the priest, I said, well, Ray Brooks is going to parade outside the church with the candles and the altar boys, and he's going to stand at the door. If you need prayer, he'll pray for you there. So I did that. People are falling at the door of the cathedral. Good meeting. I thought that was the greatest thing that could ever happen. I spoke at the Vatican University in Rome. Nobody knew me. I spoke at the Vatican. I got a private audience with Pope John. John 23rd is... Anyway, Paul. It wasn't impressed. I was having an audience with God. I wanted to impress me. But you know, if you step out on the natural, God will let you walk in the supernatural. The supernatural is eternal. The natural is temporal. It comes and goes and that's it. It's over. But the supernatural is eternal. I was in France the last two times, a four-square church, and a young pastor, a brand new pastor, he has a big enough church, a lot of Africans there and a lot of white people, but he let me talk and he says, "Ray, the kids don't listen to old people like you." But he said, "I watched them for an hour. They had their eyes glued on you. They listened to every word you said and they responded." Ray, it doesn't happen like this. I said, it did. Kids like me, it's the adults you got a problem with. It's wonderful. My wife's got a different anointing. You know, she goes to the store and people get mad at her for no reason. Her presence that's inside her troubles people to come by her. That happened so often. It was scary. We didn't know what was happening. The presence of God inside makes people nervous. So we have to live with that. I believe the gifts of God are for people who will take them. There's a lot of gifts. When we get to heaven, people will find that the gifts have never been opened. We want to open them today. Is it my voice or my sound? It's my voice. It's what happened when I preached too much. Okay. So we have those gifts that are here, and there's many more. But when I studied that, I was saying that nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Nine. So I said, gifts are free. Therefore, God's kids. I'll take them all. I'll take all nine. One pastor says, "You can't do that." I said, "I already did. I'm sorry." "Well, how can you do that?" I said, "He has the nine gifts. He's in me, and he can do what he wants." We're in agreement with this. I believe God today will give you some healing if you want to. Faith will bring healing to you if you want to. Some people don't want to. Some people, one guy said, "Well, you know, Pays de Gal. Well, it's outside England, in Wales. A group of men's meeting, and people were dancing and shouting of joy because they got a visitation from God. And one guy came crying. He says, "Ray, I would like that." But he said, "I walk on the mine as a soldier. My bones are all broken. I'm lucky I can stand up and walk a little bit, but I'm in pain. But I want to be healed." Well, it's not easy for you to pray for a cold to be healed or a body to be repaired. I don't do it, so I could do it. So I prayed with him, and he disappeared. He left. And the whole day, he disappeared. And that night, he arrived. He said, "Ray, pain left. But I want to be sure before I testify that the pain really left. I've been walking all over this ground here. Pain's gone." He said, "I called the government and I told them, 'Don't send me any more money. I'm healed.'" Usually they don't do that. They want to get the money too. They said, "No, you're not healed. We see your case here. You are not healed." He says, "I am healed. Don't send me any more money." He says, "We can't do that. You're not healed. We'll send you the money." Now he preaches with the government's money. I Jesus. I mean, this isn't that a gift to give to me, to see that with my eyes? I believe that God's going to store for you of good gifts if you will just step out in faith. All is possible. All is possible. We share this. We get the gift of grace. We're blessed all the time. All the time. We give now more than we've ever given. We receive more than we've ever received. We go. When he says go, we go. We love what we're doing. We're not going to retire yet. Maybe never, right? If I don't retire, you can't either. Life is too exciting not to do what God tells us. I got friends here in Paso Robles. I'm blessed to be here. I've been here for so many years. Somebody told me 30 years, I think. Is that right, 30 years? 34, yeah. Oh! And can you imagine? They invited me when I was a kid. Now I'm an old man. They still invited me. Huh? 40 years. 40 years old. Hey! Man. Yeah, that's right. Look what I did. I didn't do it, brother. I swear I didn't do it. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 27, Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the way that come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? That God always asks you a question. He wants to know if you believe. Do you believe I'm able to do it? Yeah, most people would say yes. Okay? Do you believe I can do that? Yeah. Do you believe I'll do it for you now? That's another question. Still a little different. Okay? So, do you want for God to use you? Do you want to finish victorious in all areas? Do you want to be wanted all your life instead of being rejected all your life? Do you want to learn more and more that shows eternal and spiritual than ever before? Yeah, it's right here. Do you believe? He said, do you believe I can do that? The blind man said. He said, then your faith has made you whole. I like that. He didn't say, my faith has made you whole. He said, your faith has made you whole. Yeah, ooh, that's pretty heavy. Yes, Lord. You touch their eyes. Your faith has made you whole. Let it be done unto you. And his eyes are open. Their eyes are open. We have that open all the time. If you recognize that it's not what you do, it's what he does, it's easy. But if it's what you do, you got a problem. Yeah. Right? Now, I worked with a priest that was blind. He had two glass eyes. But he worked with a scout. He'd go in the forest, and he could feel the rocks, the trees. He could feel. He could sense it. And I was with him, and to me, it's a miracle, this guy. He said, Ray, is there a church out here? I said, yeah, there's one on the right. He said, stop me there. I got to stop there. So I walked in there. There were some nuns, three or four nuns, sitting in the front row. He said, anybody in the front row? I said, yes. So he says, take me there. So he started talking to those nuns. They got scared, you know. Then I took him to a meeting, and some guy said, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to be healed. He said, no. I got glass eyes. But, you know, you wouldn't believe that. So he prayed it. He didn't get healed because he didn't have eyes. But I believe we're walk in the supernatural. Experience are there for us, and it's good. The more that you gain, the more that you know, And if you fail, you've learned something that you didn't know before, now you know better. Okay? Luke 8:1-15. When they came down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, it's a question. Most Christians say, if you're willing. Yeah, that's not a problem. He is willing. He came to heal the sick. He came to set the captives free. He came to deliver the people. That's his will. If you're willing, we know he's willing. Okay? If you're willing. Then Jesus put his hands on him, touched him, and says, I'm willing. Be clean. No big prayer. No big thing. Ugh. You know, when I prayed, nothing happened. I want to clap them, you know. So they remember I prayed for them. But it didn't happen that way. Okay. We see many people. A man come, his servant is paralyzed, the centurion, and he said, would you come? And Jesus said, the guy said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Long distance, he's not even there. Just say the word. Jesus said, I have never seen such great faith on all Jerusalem. I never. Yes, faith. He was healed. We put the charge on God. We do the action. He does the thing. Be it done unto you as you've asked. Be healed. Over and over again. Then he brought one who had the demon possessed, blind and mute. That's hard. Blind and mute and demon possessed. That's hard to understand, this guy. How can you reason something? You know, this kind of. And he healed him. So the blind spoke and he saw. So if we are to walk in the supernatural and learn to do it, we have to make action. If you decide, I will put action, I'll ask God to show me, and I'll put action to my faith. And I'll do it. I'll take a chance. You know? You'll be surprised what you're going to see. You'll be surprised. How many are willing to take a chance? How many are not sure you're willing? thank you, Jesus. There's so many verses here on healing. I just thought I'd finish tonight with healing. Tomorrow we're going to talk about something else, but I believe tonight there's enough faith in our little group here for miracles to happen. Somebody here's got to have some faith. Okay? How many of you would really like to be normal for a change? See, because life gives you, abuse you, destroys you, hurts you, confuses you. I mean, if we become well, this is a miracle. Is that true? We expect things now. We expect things. We don't see everything we want to see, but we expect things. And I tell you, we say this by faith. We have received faith for these things from people who had faith. We didn't receive it from people who had no faith. Right? That's true. So, I believe there's enough faith in my wife and I that you can become contagious also, like we are. You know, your presence can stir up something in a spiritual world that you'll be responsible for, and you'll receive the blessing if that's what you want. I believe God wants to bless this church, this pastor, this area. I believe this place can be a light toward the world, starting from here, just a little light in the sky. We can see it from everywhere. I believe this can be a light, something happening here that's not happening anywhere else. And we don't need many people. 12 is enough. Okay? So if you think you might be willing to be healed or willing to become an instrument to bring healing, okay? We're going to pray. We're going to meet here, and we're going to pray. I believe you will receive something.